live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 229. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, I'm doing just fine, man. What is the good word out here in these sports streets? Brandon Reif, please give us the rundown for tonight's show.
NFL, we've got NFL talk, Colts, Broncos, the clustered mess, disgustingness. We'll do a quick recap of that game from last Thursday night. We'll talk the games from this past Sunday, as well as look ahead for this week's games here in the NFL. A little bit of news and notes from around the world of the professional football world. As always, we'll go to college football. We'll recap the week, talk about the next week, and we got our picks later on with Tanner Penrod. We'll do our pick'ems for the week. And then as well as we've got a little bit of quick hitters tonight, talking Indiana Pacers basketball, IU Kentucky, possible getting it fired back up. And obviously, Major League Baseball postseason has begun. So all that and your calls tonight on the show. JB, did you have a good weekend?
As far as my picks are concerned, I had a better weekend than I've had in the last couple of weeks, man. But from a personal standpoint, man, I had a decent weekend. I mean, the Colts didn't lose, so I had a decent weekend.
Yeah, it was for me. It was a good, good weekend, but tiring weekend. Bachelor party down in Nashville. It was fun. Didn't get to watch much of the college games. I had to kind of recap it on Sunday and Monday. But, yeah, it was definitely wild, and I ain't that old anymore. That's what I figured out. So let's dive right into it. NFL, John, Colts, Broncos, maybe one of the most disgusting games I've ever seen in my entire life between both sides. The front office brass cannot be okay with what they saw, even with a W. There is a lot of causes of concern for this organization, for this team. They snuck out a win against Russell Wilson, who two just complete boneheaded plays, John, on the interception when you're leading late, and then the going back at Stephon Gilmore again when you had another guy wide open in the end zone. So what was your thoughts on just on the game itself, the Colts side, and then also kind of Denver's side of it there?
Yeah, again, somewhat of excuse for the Colts and Denver for playing such an ugly game is that this was on a short week. This is a Thursday night game where it feels like if anybody's watched any of the previous Colts games or even Denver Broncos games, it feels like they're still trapped in a preseason mode, right? Their offenses look like, you know what I'm saying, piss poor, and their defenses are wagging tongues out there because we really don't have that great gauge of what these particular, even Colts defense, what it should really be, right? I mean, a lot of pontificate, sports pontificate, you know what I'm saying, people say the Colts defense is good. Well, you know, and I get somebody, I know somebody's going to go at me and say, well, did they play well in the second half of that Denver Colts Broncos game? Yeah, are they the ones primarily responsible for gutting out that victory? Absolutely, man. But like, nah, man. Brandon, I'm not gonna say it's the worst game I've ever seen, man. We have seen some games in prior years that are similar where it's basically just a field goal fest. But like, nah, man. For what you paid for and what you traded for and what you've extended in free agency, talking about all free agents, and you know what I'm saying, who, and Matt Ryan included, man. Like, that was just an ugly way. It's an ugly way to win, man. And I know any other time we would be saying, like, hey, man, a victory is a victory. And it is. It is. But, like, man, you know, in this 2022 era of football, and your team can muster, I think they're last. I do believe they're last in points in offense, that man. So the Colts.
Yes,
you know,
they are
so
averaging 13.8 points a game.
Yeah, you have what some people will believe is at some point he'll be wearing a yellow jacket in Canton, and Matt Ryan. And you have some, and I get Shaq Leonard's not out, so, you know, you still don't have what you told, you know, pieces of defense out there. And, you know what I'm saying, Jonathan Taylor didn't play the game as well Thursday night, you know what I'm saying, due to the high ankle sprain. So you kind of just take those notes, Brandon, and those, obviously the other notes from the other games that you played, and hopefully you can turn it on. I don't think the Colts are necessarily at a place where they're ready to bench Matt Ryan. But if we get into these contests where we can't get into the red, where, you know what I'm saying, he can't punch it into the red zone, or like, yeah, you know what I'm saying, then can they bench him? Like, is Nick Foles there? Oh, my goodness, you know what I'm saying? If we're pulling up Nick Foles, you know what I'm saying, that means the season has kind of went off the rails. So, you know,
right.
Brandon, I get the win, you get out of Dodge, and then, like I said, you get to the tape and you work on it. And hopefully, you know what I'm saying, it looks a little bit better come Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think they can bench him for what you're paying him. But I don't think, you know, yeah, he has 11 fumbles, 21 sacks, 47 quarterback hits on him. But a lot of that's not just on him. I mean, he's been running for his life
right.
at offensive line. They switched up, what, three or four of the positions on the offensive line this week when they had no practice, or last week
right.
when they had no practice right before it. So you're kind of – what do you expect from the guy at that point when it just looks like a disaster is about to happen? I don't think he gets benched. I think they play through it. I think the only way he gets benched is if they end up getting if they get knocked out of the playoffs at like week 12 or week 13, whatever like that, and they can't make it, then I think you pack it in and you play for that draft pick from that point on. But I don't think, based on his contract and stuff, you just bench the man. I to me, John, yeah, those stats are alarming, but it's not all on Matt. And there's a lot of other people need to pay the piper for why the team is the way they are. If they would have lost that game, John.
Oh, my.
Like I said, I think Frank is still just going week to week at this point. And we'll see how they do this weekend. They're at home against Jaguars. Jaguars stomped them last time, shutout.
They did.
You got to win this one, right? I mean, the Jags lost last week against Houston, which was, looked bad. But so they're going to come out ready to play. But the Jaguars are now only 2.5-point favorites going into Sunday's game. So I kind of
right.
like the Colts
well,
to win this one.
Yeah, Brandon, I don't know. I don't know, man. You have to win just for the simple fact, from the Colts standpoint, you have two victories to your name, and they're not in your division. You have two losses to your name, and they are in your division. If you want to make any type of noise this year, and the Colts want to make noise. The Colts want to win the division. The Colts want to, you know what I'm saying, get to the playoffs. You got to win this game this weekend. So I think it's going to be a whole lot closer. I get it. Trevor Lawrence hasn't looking exceptionally sharp, especially last week against the Texans. But for some whatever reason, man, he gets the big, you know what I'm saying, he gets the Wheaties filling in him, man, whenever he plays the Colts. And like I said, he plays like freaking Joe Montana, man. So I think it's gonna be a good one. It's gonna be a close one too. But like I said, if you're the coach, you gotta get to one at home. You don't want the Bluebirds come out on you at home, because if they lose that game, Brad, I think he does get fired.
Yeah, especially when the following week you have to go down to Tennessee. I mean, right there, you've hit damn near every one of your conference or your division games at that point. You'll have left
right.
is Houston, I believe, at the end of the year. So, yeah, you can't play with losing those games. Bills, Steelers, John, I said it'd probably be ugly. It was as ugly as a bloodbath as you could think it would be. Kenny played okay. I thought Buffalo played really, really well. They showed why they are the best team in the AFC. But also, John, there was a couple cheap shots on to Pickett that it's kind of bush league what Buffalo did there. And I have no problem with the other players sticking up for their new quarterback, their starting quarterback, because, well, my God, the one, it looked like he was going to blow his knee out towards the end of the game when that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of trash talk going on that field out there, Brandon. Like The Steelers got to get help on the offensive line. In order to get the necessary push from a mobile quarterback like Kenny Pickett, or even the, you know what I'm saying, Najee, you got to get better offensive line play. Buffalo took the Steelers out the woodshed. I think they had a lot of that bad taste from that last year's Steelers win when the Steelers surprised them. Like, what week was that? Was that week two or was that week three? I think it was like week two.
Week one.
Yo, yeah, I see. I'm totally off. Yeah, week one. There was a little bit added into that. You know what I'm saying? I still, you know what? Everybody's talking crazy about the Steelers, man. I still think there's hope. I don't know what the hell is going on with Cam Hayward. Why he would come out with, you know what I'm saying, some of his sinister comments that he said or retweets that he did via Twitter, man. But, you know,
yeah,
former
not
Steelers,
good look.
Cam Hayward. You said what? Go ahead, Brandon.
I said it's not a good look when your defensive captain is sitting there, quote, butt retweeting about Tomlin. Tomlin said he's highly involved in the offense. He has a vote of confidence for Matt Canada. That's the first effing problem with this organization. Now he's taking a step back on his change comments. Says I don't tend to change for the sake of changing. Is what he said now. So we will see. I feel like, John, I'm not saying I'm out on Tomlin, but
okay.
At some point, it's got to be, like we talk about Frank Wright, it's got to be at the top. And if your guys aren't responding to the coaching and to the man that's in the leaderboard on the leadership, there's a problem.
Right.
We haven't won a playoff game since 2013. That's not Pittsburgh Steelers football. Now, I understand we haven't had a losing season, since 2003 or whatever. But let me ask you this. Is that because it was Mike Tomlin from 07 on? Or is that because of Ben Roethlisberger? Because and we've had situations with Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Santonio Holmes, Plaxico Burress.
Who dealt with that? And who dealt with that?
Mike Tomlin.
Who had to manage all that crap, right?
I just don't know when enough is enough.
Enough?
And I know I can sit there and say, people say, well, damn it, you know, this is all going to fire Mike Tomlin, all that. And maybe it needs to get to that at some point. But I guarantee there's 15 other teams out there that would pick up Mike Tomlin as their head coach. And the cupboard's pretty
right.
bare of who the hell's out there, which is my concern.
Right.
I honestly think it goes maybe you give it one more year with Mike next year.
Right, where Brandon, you give one more year with Mike, or maybe even two. I would say even two because you got to replenish some of what you lost, man.
Right, right.
You know, a lot of that team's not young, fresh, and new anymore at some key positions, and they got it.
Right.
And their scout team is great. I would say at finding talent, and you know this might just be the beat them in the head season. They might win six games. They might win seven games. You know, but it'll be, I think, Brandon, it'll be because of lack of talent overall and not necessarily lack of, like, we want to win this game. And it's, you know, or we're not necessarily listening to Mike Tomlin. I think it's because of lack of talent. The Buffalo Bills probably should have went to the Super Bowl last year. That's the level of where they're at. But look what their trajectory is at. They've been on this trajectory where – they've been in elite, right, in elite conversation
right.
for at least the last two or three seasons. The Pittsburgh Steelers, hell, they said they were going to shoot old Ben last year, put him out of his misery, and they lived through the playoffs. You know what I mean? All that. So I just think the team's a little bit long in the tooth in the trenches. That's what I'm alluding to. And that's where you have to be, you know what I'm saying, you want to be young at the quarterback position. That's important. You want to be young and wide out and running back. But, you know what I'm saying, we all know that the in the line, the trenches, to bang them up, bang their head, that's where, you know what I'm saying, a lot of this stuff, the war of attrition is where it's won, man. And right now, Pittsburgh still is a little long in the tooth right there.
Let's be real. We knew this. I even said it before the season. We knew this was going to be a rebuilding year. Nobody and their brother expected us to beat Buffalo with a rookie quarterback last week. None of us do. The stuff I've seen on Twitter, like, come on, there's fake reality and there's reality. Like, we knew there was they owed us one from last year, right? We knew that.
Right.
We got a brand new quarterback in there as well. The running game is not where it needs to be. The offensive line needs rebuilt. We're a little old in the tooth with the defensive backs that we need to have help in. We don't have T.J. Watt. I mean, you can use excuses and an X-man-up mentality, but, I mean, I think you give it 2 years. I'll give it two more years with Mike before you have to say, hey, Mike, maybe it's time to go because good guy Mike. Now, I still think his press conferences are most hilarious things. The standard is the standard, and that's what we're going to leave it at. Like, it is what it is. That's Mike Tomlin. You're not going to get anything out of him during press conferences. He always does use these big words, and it's Tomlin. But we got to do something. I sent you a thing the other night. Right now, we're the second worst team in the football league right now, and we have the number two pick currently in the draft.
Now, let's look at that. You look at the record. You look at the record. Do you really believe you're better than Detroit, right?
No.
Better than Detroit Lions.
No.
Stop
Detroit
it.
Has a way better offense. Are you kidding me?
Detroit just got blanked by the New England Patriots.
That's
Brandon.
Fine. We've lost to the Patriots, too. John, we are the third worst scoring team in the country or in the league. Third worst. The Colts are the only other team besides – and another team that are there.
I know this is a 317 positive show, Colts show. Do you really think the Pittsburgh Steelers are as bad as the Colts?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
I do. And that's a Steeler fan telling you. And I'm telling you. Yeah, I'm telling you. It's this team, they need so much work. And the fact that right now they're number two in the draft – and, hey, the mock drafts right now currently have us taking edge rusher Will Anderson from Alabama.
Right.
If you put him on that defense, that helps out. I mean, it doesn't fix the offensive line, but if you can add another piece to that defense there,
it's a long season. I will say this, Brandon, because I know we want to talk about some other teams. This is a long season. And right now, the Arizona Cardinals are in flux. Right now, the Carolina Panthers are in flux. Right now, there's a lot of teams that are in flux. Okay.
The Dolphins.
I'm not saying Pittsburgh. You say what now?
The Miami Dolphins, who we just gave praise to.
Miami's in flux, man. Hell, you know, technically the Colts are in flux. We don't know, man. So if you had told me, and you did, you kind of did, that Cincinnati would be in the position that they are in right now, kind of, you know what I'm saying, looking up instead of, like, looking behind, you know what I'm saying, looking from behind them and looking to see if everybody playing catch up. Again, a lot of football left to play. I think some of these teams get it. I think some of these teams that people were ready to crown, they have a swing where they go through a lose streak. And I think some of these teams that were losing early on, they go through a win streak, man. Man, might be a little
Can
bit
Can I ask you this?
Who knows? Go ahead.
What do you – and this is – I want an outsider's perspective on this. From an outsider's perspective on the Pittsburgh Steelers – what has given you any confidence that this team can put something remotely together to possibly go after a wild card position?
Just the fact that it's just the history of it, really though, Brandon. It's just the fact that we've seen Mason Rudolph win games. You know what I'm saying? Maybe not to the extent of Cooper Rush, what he's done in Dallas. But we've seen Mason Rudolph win games. But those Mason Rudolph teams that led things, I think they had better line play. Or they had, you know, say maybe definitely better wideout play. I don't necessarily know, you know, say what the wideout situation is like. So it's kind of, to answer your question, it's kind of just based on history and like what they've been able to do as an organization to, like, move the meter when things are going against rough.
Okay. I want to quickly shift over to the NFC East real quick. Decot, I see you on there, buddy. We'll get you here in a second. NFC East, New York Football Giants, John, 4-1, beat the Packers over in London. Philadelphia Eagles, 5-0, last undefeated team.
Yep.
I can say before the season when we talked, you didn't believe in the New York Giants would be where they are, neither did I.
No, We thought they were playing for their rights to C.J. Stroud.
Joe Judge?
You know, Joe Judge, it looks like Joe Judge is the problem, man. looks like he was getting in the way a lot. I don't know, man. They did repair some of their offensive line issues. They did draft pretty well. That new regime did. I can't remember what grade I gave. I think I might have gave him like a C+, B-, that type of level on their draft. But again, we thought this was going to be definitely a season where no way they would be where they were at with, you know what I'm saying, 4 wins and 1 loss. So listen, Brandon, when you go down, boom, talk about Dallas. Who thought a backup quarterback, like, he's managed the team. They haven't lost. The defense leads the team. He doesn't cough it up. You have to tip your hat to that. He's probably got Mike McCarthy at least off the hot seat till come playoff time, right? You know what I'm saying? They won't be firing Mike McCarthy because of lack of team preparation this year, right? That we haven't talked about that. Like, he has his team prepared. Like, they are weathering their storm. You have to tip that. Now, this weekend, tough matchup. Them in Philadelphia. Right, tough matchup, but like, man, outside of the Washington Commanders, and if they had a quarterback that kind of gave a damn about about his play going further, they have Carson Wentz. If anybody doesn't know, they'd probably be in the mix as well. But yeah, man, we used to dog the NFC East on this show, man, because it was always like a runaway.
He's from the NFC East.
Yeah, NFL easy. So like, it used to be a runaway for Dallas, but now not this year, man. This is a team that's probably going to send at least 2 teams to the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Eagles are looking good. Nick Sirianni, former Colt, got that team playing well. Jalen Hurts just needs to stay healthy for that team. I still have questions regarding their defense as the season progresses. But you can't fault them right now, kind of where they're at. So let's bring our guy on here. What's going on, D-Cott?
Fellas, how's it going tonight?
Good. Yourself?
Good. I got 3 topics I want to hit, right? So the first one, Brandon, I want to hit on your Pittsburgh counseling treatment that we're going to work on for you, right? You're saying that Mike Tomlin is going to be given a year. After what he's done from a consistency standpoint in Pittsburgh with one of the worst offensive lines, with one of the worst defensive lines they've got in the league this year, and secondly, a rookie quarterback that looks like a younger Mr. Trubisky, right, to me. Athletic, big arm. I'm not a big arm. A good arm. And they don't have the depth in the players to be difference makers. They're probably – between 5 and 8 in the NFL. They're not one of the worst 2 teams. They're not. But the issue with them is not Mike Tomlin. If the players are tired of hearing a message, play better. And then you got to think about this. If Tomlin goes after end of next year, as you said, Brandon, who's your replacement?
That's
the whole key behind all this coaching stuff. We love to talk about this guy's got to go. My question is, and that's for the Colts fans also, who is your replacement? And then that's when you start hearing those crickets. So my concern would be is this. Mike Tomlin has been there for, I think, this is 16 year, right?
Yep.
You're right. That's a long time. But no player's been there for 16 years, man. Spoke about the receiver, Brown. We spoke about Le'Veon. Those guys were problems elsewhere also. They weren't just problems in Pittsburgh for Tomlin. Those guys, look what Brown is doing, man. So I don't know that it's the issue with the coach. I think they've got to get a better offensive mind in there. He's got to get better guys to me that aren't yes men to Tomlin. That's my thinking. I think the guys he gives are guys, from a coaching perspective, are guys that says, hey, I got you, coach. I haven't seen any ingenuity in the Pittsburgh offense since Cordell Stewart was there, man.
Oh man,
I mean, I don't see any creativity, and we can argue the point. Let's talk about the last 16 years. They had a Big Ben. Yeah, I mean, there's been no ingenuity, right? So that's my concern. And we're talking about 94 AFC Championship game against the Colts I'm talking about, right? So that's my issue with the Pittsburgh Steelers deal. I say give Tomlin however much time he needs unless he doesn't make a change in his coordinator position on the offensive side. That has to change.
Which he just said he wouldn't right now. He just said he has 100% confidence in the offensive coordinator, which with the last 3 years with that guy leading it, we have been in the bottom three of offense.
Here's what I would say to that, right? Coach, I'm going to bring you in the office. Look, I'm going to give him a blueprint of the last 16 years. Say, needs to change in my eyes if I'm the GM or if I'm the owner, right? If this doesn't change after this year and after next year, when we go into the offseason, if I haven't seen – I'm not talking about going from, you know, what they are now to run and shoot. I'm talking about a difference in theory and in logic of how they play football, right, on the offensive side. If I see a difference, he stays as long as he wants because he's a man's man. And if you watch the Pivot podcast, he's on there, it told you all you needed to know about him as a man and as a leader. I'm not sure if you guys watched that, the Pivot with Fred Taylor, the ex-defensive back from the Steelers. Have you all taken a look at that? I'll send you the link, and I won't mess it up. But I just ask you, it's about 48 minutes. Please listen to it, and then tell me what your thoughts are after that, right? And
I listen to every Mike Tomlin press conference on game days.
I'm not talking. That's coach speak, right? I'm talking about real man speak, right? When the cameras are off from the NFL perspective, right? And we're talking about men.
Yeah,
right?
I've seen him on another show for that. At this rate, we're getting ourselves ready for Hard Knocks next year. I think we're going to be the Hard Knocks team.
No, they'll win six games this year, man. It's a 17-game season. They'll win six games, right?
That's how
I'm celebrating. I definitely don't want to spend any more time talking about Pittsburgh because I got two more wonderful topics, right? So I'm going to hit this one with the Pacers. I told you guys a couple of weeks ago when we talked about salary cap, right? So since no one did the homework for me, I did it myself, right? So the salary cap floor is, as we talked about, $111 million. Pacers currently are at $95 million, the salary floor, right? So what they did, so what they have, they've got a 33, they've got a $17 million difference. That difference, if the Pacers don't sign another player to a bigger contract, that $17 million is split amongst the current players on the roster as long as they play 41 games. So I was thinking they had to do something by the beginning of the season. That's false. They don't have to. So that $17 million will be split among probably 16 players. So every player is going to get about $1 million raise, okay? Here's my problem with the leadership in the Pacers, right? So what they did when they signed DeAndre Ayton to the offer sheet, they signed him to a four-year $133 million deal. We knew Phoenix was not willing to give him the max at 177 at five. You have to offer him the 177, and here's why. Because if you do that, you're still $12 million under the salary cap threshold from the standpoint of luxury tax. The luxury tax is $150 million. They would have been just at $138 million if they would have maxed him out. They had room to play with. I think it was a publicity stunt. Say, look what we tried to do. I don't think they wanted to sign him. I don't think they really had a real – well, they signed him, of course. I don't think they thought that he was going to be a Pacer in the fall. I think they tried to hoodwink the fans and the season ticket holders and being one of them. And I'm very disappointed in that, right? They had $12 million more bucks, even if you sign him to a five-year – because his maximum was $177 million. 5 years, $177 million. It's still averaging out about $36 million a year. This young man came in with Luka Doncic and all those guys. He's number one pick. You're going to tell me that you're not going to give him a five-year deal, knowing doggone well Phoenix doesn't want to do that anyway? You say, oh, well, we tried? No, they didn't try. I don't buy it. I'm going to give you this last example. Pistons signed Marvin Bagley to a three-year, $37 million deal. because they're sub the floor also. And they didn't want to split that money amongst the players. They said, let's find us a guy that'll fit for depth. But unfortunately, he just got hurt, and that meniscus, I think, is what his issue is. So that's my issue with the Pacers. And this is not from a guy who's a – this is a guy who's watching, listening, and paying attention. And if any Pacer fan, you know who I'm talking about, wants to defend this, I'll debate it all day long. They had an opportunity to sign to that. They're under the cap, and they chose to sign to a four-year deal. And I, in my opinion, thinking, hey, they'll match this deal, and we can say, hey, fans, we tried. Russell Westbrook is not coming to Indianapolis, which I'm glad of, and they're going to split that money out. That's my thought on that. I want to get you guys' take on that before I get my last point.
JB?
Brett, I don't know, man. I think the Pacers want to move a little bit. They have a team that's good enough to win. The Pacers don't like tanking. And I know we joked a couple weeks ago about them, you know, that bad word, tanking, and, you know, they bring us James Harden. I know I said some crazy whack things, right?
Right.
This is just a youth movement, man. You know what I'm saying? This is the guys, you know what I'm saying, in their 20s. And the Pacers want to see what they got. I think they really wanted to see if DeAndre Ayton, if Phoenix called their bluff, and the, you know what I'm saying, DeAndre Ayton walked, it'd have been real awkward because, like, what are you gonna do with all these bodies with Miles Turner? And, like, does that contract get moved and all that, whatever, right? You know what I'm saying?
He's got 1 year left, JB. He's got 1 year left. He's walking next summer, man.
But, you know, here's the thing, man. We live in a new sports world where it's, you know what I'm saying, we don't live in that world where we've got to automatically trade that guy if we know, you know what I'm saying, he or even she, you know what I'm saying, is going to not going to resign with the team. You know, Orlando let, I do believe they let, or and that was 100 years ago now, they let Dwight Howard walk. They didn't trade him.
Right.
I don't, you know what I'm saying? So he might not be there. Yeah. I know Miles Turner ain't even, you know what I'm saying, even pushed 28 years old just yet. But, like, you know, he's long in the tooth. This is not his team. This is, they're transitioning over to a more guard heavy team. I think if the Pacers, again,
they're down 11,
Brandon,
by the way.
Brandon posted a little picture of Victor with Tomba. I know I messed up his last name, but I'll get it by the time he gets drafted. Brandon posted a picture with him in a Pacers uniform. The Pacers wish they could get him, and, you know what I'm saying, and have him in a uniform after next year. I think they're good enough that they won't – they'll still be in a lottery type of conversation potentially. You know what I mean? They'll float between 11 and 17. They'll be that good. I think they'll be that good, but – They potentially win 30 games this year, but they're better than a 10-win team. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, without a doubt. I think they're a 28 to 34 win team in that neighborhood, right? Because they're going to be very young, obviously very athletic, and there's going to be a lot of teams looking to tank. Let's just call it like it is, right?
Right.
So that's an opportunity for them if they don't want to tank. But going back to my point, we talked about Turner, right? Yeah, 28. But if you got Ayton and it is his first year here, he's got four more years left when Turner's gone. You're still going to need someone in the paint. Again, Gogo Batazic is allergic to paint. I saw him at Community East Hospital 2 weeks ago, and he was breaking out in a rash. They wanted him in the paint too much. So you got to do something. And if we're thinking about this as fans, why can't leadership, Pritchard, Mr. Shaking Hands and Kissing Babies last game of the season, can't think about this? This is just simple math, man. Turner is looking for more than $18 million a year next year. I promise you that. And if you if you had an opportunity to sign Ayton to a five-year deal, you got 4 years with Ayton as your center. And he is a capable player beyond Turner. You know why? Because he's not allergic to paint. He's not allergic to paint. And that's a miss for the Pacers, and they're going to suffer for that because they're going to be too good to hit a high lottery pick, but not good enough to make a difference. That's what their problem is going to be this coming year. The good news is they got Cleveland's pick. They'll be in the playoffs. They'll have our lottery pick, and I think Boston's pick also. Is that right? I think they'll have three number ones next draft.
You're talking about in the trade. In the trade.
I'm talking about,
Brock trade,
yeah. With Always Hurt. So we'll have three number ones next year. That's a great thing. But you got to do something with them. And if Turner's gone, where is your middleman? He's not on your roster right now.
If you get a chance, you got to trade Miles, because if not, you're going to lose him, because he will not re-sign.
That's what I'm saying. So we missed the boat. And, again, like I told you all, don't get me started on this front office stuff. I'll get frustrated, right? So, but I think I made my point on that, right? They missed an opportunity. And to your point, Brandon, they're done. Miles is leaving, and they don't have a viable replacement to cover the paint.
But he's still got a skill set that there's going to be teams wanting him as it gets closer to the deadline. So it's not like it's like, well, damn, we're damned.
Very, very more than serviceable. He, on a scale of 1 to 10, he's a 6 or a 7 in my view, right, as a young guy. But he's not going to be that guy in Indiana because he'll be gone next season. So you got to think, if they always talk about forecasting and thinking forward, the Pacers have failed the players, the city, the season ticket holders, and all the other fans by not looking at this thing down the road. And it's going to blow up in their face this summer. I anticipate that unless they do some blockbuster with those three picks that they've got, they're going to have in the first round next season.
Well, Deacon, you can't come on the show talking, running down the Pacers, man. We already got in trouble.
Hey, listen. You know what I feel about my boys, right?
I don't think Deacon knows. If you want to fill him in,
yeah, we got in trouble, man. Pacers told us we wasn't big enough to cover it. Well, we were trying to get media credentials to go to the Pacers games. You know what I'm saying? We have media credentials to go to Ball State, Purdue, IUPUI. You know what I'm saying? Basically every other freaking place. You know what I'm saying, to have sports. You know what I'm saying, in Indiana. And Brandon. And his, you know what I'm saying, he's like, dude, why? We talk about Pacers all the time. We you know what I'm saying, Brandon is holding the torch for Miles Turner.
They need to log in.
You know what I'm saying? No, dude, they said we
want to make a call. You want to make a phone call?
I told them Brandon told them we have very passionate conversations. You know what I'm saying? From Mr. Soup, from yourself, you know what I'm saying? And even, you know what I'm saying, your nemesis, and me and Brandon, you know what I'm saying? And they said, you know, we wasn't big enough, so we have to. Excuse me. They said we wasn't professional enough. I couldn't believe.
Professional enough.
I would love to get Pritchard on the call and talk to him about these raw numbers. Talk to me about what your plan is, right? Because this is real. This ain't some emotional rant. These are numbers that are backed up, but with fact-based information. And you can't tell me what you're going to do next year because you don't know where you're going to fall in the draft next year. Well,
right,
you do know, you got three number ones next year.
At least.
Now, what are you going to do with probably 18, 19, and then probably 23, 24?
Right, Boston's pick will be allowed around because they're going to be good. You know what I mean?
So, exactly. So you're talking about 26, 27, 28. Right. So,
right,
so
like that.
That's
correct.
Where I'm going to ask those guys. So, again, I'm going to be there, of course, but you can't be a real fan and not question what's going on with your team, man. Nemesis always says, you can't dog them. Yes, the hell I can, because my bank account says I can every month.
The Pacers did extend. They did extend, I think, this either late last night or sometime this afternoon. They did extend Chris Duarte.
They extended four of them.
But that makes sense. That's an easy call. Now you talk – remember, we just said they're under the salary threshold by $17 million, man. They got to spend the money. So that's no win. That's like somebody saying, hey, man, I've never been to jail before. Well, you shouldn't go to jail. Well, you got to pay the money somewhere. So
right.
So that's the thing, right, that now they're down by 9 with the Knicks with 35 seconds to go in the first quarter. So I think I've ranted enough about my boys, right? Love them to
it's
death. I'll be down there cheering, doing my thing, right? But I'm disappointed in the leadership because they made excuse and they want us to feel like they're doing something with this fake move of signing this 4-year, $133 million deal when it could have been 5 at 178 and Phoenix wouldn't have matched. And if anybody, any of your callers or anybody listening want to debate it with me, we can debate it all day long. Those are just facts, man. Those are facts. Phoenix said they were not going to max him out, man.
He kind of cheated, as always. Brand, he's always heated up.
Yeah, I get fired.
Hey,
last up. before I get to my last subject, how was your weekend last weekend, Mr. Weekend? Was it good?
It was.
Well, maybe we'll chat about that another time.
I so, told Jonathan, hey, I will tell you, I told Jonathan, my vision wasn't the greatest at about 11 o'clock or so at night, but as I was trying to stare at that television there across the bar, whew, Jimbo and them almost pulled it off.
Nice segue. Oh, FYI, by the way, Bally is offering free viewing of the Pacers this season for season ticket holders.
Isn't that cute? I paid for it,
exactly.
Unfortunately.
Exactly. Very, very cute. So now let's go college football, right? So this the game last week was very similar to me of the game last season in A&M and in Texas, right? I never thought the Bama was going to lose the game. Honestly, I never did. But here's what I recognize, right? And I've told you guys about this. They're going to get everybody's double best shot. So you can't measure so much on how close the game was or what happened within the trenches, because these guys are going to play lights out because it's Bama. And that's what they did. And I give them all the credit in the world for that, right? But from a talent perspective, Bama was better, and I felt that they were going to win. But I'm going to tell you this, right? And I know people are dogging them out and all that stuff like that. This coming weekend, mark the tape, okay? I don't see that Bryce Young is going to play this weekend. I think a grade one sprain is a 2 to 4 week deal. Saturday will be week two, okay? Secondly, Bama doesn't have to beat Tennessee to realize all the things that they went into the season with, because Tennessee is in the East, and Tennessee doesn't measure them on who goes to Atlanta or not. Bama needs to beat Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and LSU. All three of those games individually are bigger than this game this coming Saturday. If you don't realize Nick Saban realizes that, and everybody else realizes that within the organization, not the fan, but the organization. Now, I think Bama wants to win, but I don't see them winning because I think, in my personal opinion, that Jalen will play. I think he'll play pretty well, but he doesn't give them the better chance to win than Bryce does. So if Bryce falls on that shoulder and he's hurt, he's done for the season, which means your season is done. Now, he may play. They may shoot him up really nice, right? But the pain, that's a pain tolerance deal. That's not an injury deal. So I'm going to tell you guys, I'll shoot you guys a note. I put an absurd amount of money on Tennessee on the money line for this game because I believe that they're going to win this game because while I think Bama wants to win, but I think they see bigger things. And bigger things are Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and LSU. That's my thing. I could be 100% wrong. But I put my money on the wood, and it's too late now. Me and FanDuel have already made this agreement.
JB, know what I figured out now?
That's what I believe.
Anytime Alabama has a little bit of competition, doesn't Decott always sway to that other team so he covers himself?
No. You can cover yourself emotionally, but this is financially, man. This is not emotion. This is financially, and it makes sense. What I just said, if it doesn't make sense to a person, that means they're not listening. That means they're just emotional.
Who is Tennessee stopping? Who are they stopping on defense?
They have
one of the worst defenses in the league.
Well, listen, and you've got a backup quarterback for Alabama who's dynamic physically, but he doesn't read the game, and he doesn't have the emotional control that Bryce does, is what I'm saying to you. I'm not saying the guy's he's a chump. No. The dude's a beast, but he's not right now. He's not that guy that Bryce is on the field. He's more dynamic. He'll be fine, I think. I'm not saying 36-3, man. Come on. I'm talking 28-27, right? I'm talking 34-33, 35, right? So, but what I'm saying is, and I'm not trying, it's not about coverage, right? It's about making it make sense, man. So often, fans are so emotional. Oh, this my team. I love them, and I hate this team. Think about it. There's no the what Bama has to stand to lose in this game is much more greater than any. Tennessee has much more to lose than Bama does because they lose, Their conference is going to be shot, and they got Georgia in 2 weeks, man. That's their deal. So all I'm just saying is this. If you're a points person, take Tennessee and that 7.5, if you can still get it
right.
For 7.5.
Right.
That's what I would say. I think it's going to be a great game. Don't get me wrong. And I think Bama's going to show them, listen, every time Bama's gone into a game like this, IEC, Georgia in the SEC championship game last season, right? You doubting us, we're going to show you. They may come out there and blow their socks off 41-17. They well could do it. I just don't know that they can where they are right now and their emotional need to win the game against Tennessee. That's all I'm saying. I could be wrong. It could be 41-17 Bama going away.
Peacock, the only thing I'll say to this, man, I said that they need to win this game because potentially they beat Tennessee. It potentially could leapfrog them over Georgia, excuse me. But if they lose, if they lose this game, the optics of it will look like because USC ain't losing, right? Notre Dame ain't beating them.
Well, we know Notre Dame's not beating them. We're talking maybe Utah or UCLA, right? That's what we're talking about.
What
really.
I'm saying,
right?
Those teams will still be ranked, and potentially USC and even Clemson could potentially use those ranking games against, you know what I'm saying, where they're ranked versus what they're ranking and say, yo, we beat the number 17 team in the nation. Did Georgia play whoever this year? I'm sorry, Alabama play whoever
right.
this year. How can they leapfrog us if only the top four teams can go?
Let me share with you. Here's why, right? Because they play in the SEC. Look at the top 20. It's littered with SEC. Right, littered with SEC, not Pac-12, not ACC, not Big East, not Big Ten, SEC. And if Bama wins out, say they lose to Tennessee, they win out, they're going to play in Atlanta. And you're going to tell me you win the SEC title game, you're not in the playoffs?
If you win the SEC title game, you are
impossible.
In the playoffs. Absolutely
impossible. That's what I'm saying. That's why they can't. If they lose against Tennessee, they can't lose another one. I get you there. But what I'm saying everything is still in front of them, though. That's what I'm saying. So I think they're going to go in there and try to win the game and do everything they can. But I just don't know that it matters as much Tennessee versus the two Mississippi schools and LSU. That's my two cents on that. But when are we going to do it? I want to go live, too, by the way. Don't forget. Are we going to do the live show still? I'm down. You let me know when. I can't do it this weekend because I think I got my girls again this weekend. But let's figure out when we can do that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, the goal initially was this weekend for this game. Remember, we talked to Alabama, Tennessee.
No, it was A&M. It was A&M.
Right.
So remember the big fight.
Right. But then we said, but then Jonathan said, well, when's Alabama, Tennessee? And I said it was the following week.
And see,
we'll
at
find
the time,
one.
I didn't think much about Tennessee at the time. I wish I'd how soon can I let you guys know if I can coordinate my schedule for Saturday to make it happen?
Friday.
If I let
me.
You know by say early, midday Friday, is that
yeah.
early enough?
Yeah, Friday evening.
Yeah.
I'll try to coordinate it, man, because I want to check it out because I committed to you guys. I went against the grain. I always watch my boys at home in the man cave, but I committed to y'all, and I'm gonna put myself out there.
Hey, I'll give you this. Either this, if it can't work for this weekend. Let's look at November 12th. They're at Ole Miss.
Okay, that's perfect. That's right after Veterans Day because it's going to be a busy Veterans Day for me. I'm going to need to sit back and watch some football. So I'm going to be busy probably Thursday and Friday. So yeah, that'll work. Yeah. If we want to do it now and speak to it now, I'm good with that. The 12th, let's make that happen.
Sounds good.
We'll coordinate. Now, hey, I appreciate you guys letting me rant. For a while, I usually don't, well, not this long, but I appreciate that because I really want to get it off my chest about the Pacers, man. And if you guys got any callers that want to debate it and talk about it, let's other than you know who, because I'm not gonna have somebody just keep clown for 25 minutes. But let's talk about it. Real talk. He's there tonight.
Most likely.
No, not tonight.
I saw some idiot standing up jumping around, so it had to be him.
We don't do preseason. I usually give them away to my employees.
All right,
so yeah, but But hey, I'll be in touch with you guys, and I'll message you up, and we'll make November 12th a reality.
Sounds good.
Absolutely.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Be safe.
All right. Yep. See ya. All right. Good for having D-Cod on. John, we're going to bring our other guy, Tanner, on here momentarily. I got to bring up, see if I can bring up, where is it? Last week. All right, John, let me bring him on here. What's going on, Tanner? How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I had a better, I hopefully I have a better week than this past weekend. Thank God I was gone for my bachelor party. I went two and seven. I'm two games below 500, 25 and 27 overall. Jonathan, you went 5-4. You're 22, 30-2. Tanner went 4-5. He's 26, 26-2. Looking at some of the matchups, John or Tanner, me and you, man, I got to go against you against these Boilermakers. Purdue with the outright win. Jonathan got the point for it. We took the L with the Maryland, but Tanner, me and you,
I'm taking Nebraska this week. Screw it.
Oh boy. Tanner, me and you took Ball State. Ball State with the outright. Outright. There they are. Yeah. Ball State. Ball State wins, gets it. Jonathan did not cover that one. All three of us had Tennessee destroying LSU. Tanner, you changed your pick from Oklahoma to Texas. I should have followed you. I saw that when I was on my bachelor party. My God, I saw the massacre.
When that Ewers dude said he was playing, that dude's lights out. That dude's going to be playing on Sundays. Texas next year is going to be good if he sells out.
Going to be good this year. Right now, first place.
Yeah, they're going to be good. I know they're not, like, showing right, but, yeah, with him behind them, they're dangerous.
We lost by a point and a half on the Michigan game at IU. IU did cover that. They lost by 21. They covered the 22.5. UCLA, they're for real.
Yep.
John hated them for so long. He didn't trust Chip Kelly.
They got some essential quarterback play against Utah. Utah's quarterback, I think he's a pro quarterback, but he didn't throw any touchdowns this past weekend. That was a good game. They just got behind too much, and like I said, UCLA just kind of took over, man. So again, I know D-Cod was just on here again. USC is going to use these. I mean, technically UCLA's good too. They're going to use these games against these ranked opponents to try to stay in the top five, top four, or, you know what I'm saying, launch themselves back in. You know, I think right now I got like number seven on my poll, or number six or something like that. So these teams are going to use. I mean, UCLA for Chip Kelly's got them playing real well out there this year. You can see where it's a possibility that UCLA could. I mean, if they beat USC and stay undefeated, you know what I'm saying, they could. I mean, could they challenge? Could they be, you know what I'm saying, named in one of the bowl games, you know what I'm saying? Could.
Yeah.
But, you know what I'm saying, I don't know, man. I think at some point they'll come down to earth, lose the game. They'll probably even, you know what I'm saying, beat a team that they're not supposed to beat, you know what I mean, another Pac-12 opponent or whatever. But, you know what I'm saying, you have to take UCLA a little bit more serious than you did in recent years.
Yeah. Notre Dame beat BYU outright. Jonathan, you had them. Me and Tanner both had BYU covering the 3.5 on that one. Was not the case. So
it was 28,
a little bit 20. Of struggles. But, boys, we got 10 games this week. 10 games. I could have added a couple more, but I got 10 smorgasbord.
Good games this week. Yeah, no, there's a slate this week.
So we're going to start it off. Jonathan, you get to start it off this time. UConn and the Fighting Jim Moras at Ball State. Ball State, 9.5-point favorites.
I like Ball State to run the points up on UConn, man. this is what you want to do, man. Everybody's playing UConn this year. I feel like if you have a decent, respectable program, man, you blast them. So it's not necessarily that Ball State is that much of heads and heels over talent than UConn. So 9 points, I can see that. So like, yeah, I'm taking Ball State.
Tanner,
I'm with him on this. Give me Ball State. Let's see here. I had something I wanted to say. Maybe I'm getting the teams mixed up. I think I did. Yeah, I did. But I think UConn, they got some wins in there. They played some hard people. I mean, they got ran by Syracuse and Michigan. And they've beat up on some people. Fresno, I mean, they've caught a couple lately. I think Jim Moore will get it turned around, but I think Ball State's playing really well right now the last couple weeks. So it'll be a good tester for them, see what they can get done. But I think they can beat this team by 10. If they play as good as they did against – I mean, I don't think they played super well last week, but they played good enough. I think they should be able to cover 9.5 at the shoe this week.
Okay. I'm taking Ball State as well. Run the board, consensus pick. Everybody's on the Cardinals. Tanner, Nebraska at Purdue. Purdue, 14-point favorites.
Give me the Huskers. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not betting Purdue. I told you I'm going to stick to it. Screw them. I still don't believe in them. I think they play better on the road than they do at home. So 14, I think, is too many. So I'm going to take the Cornhuskers.
Okay. I'm going to take Nebraska to cover the points. I think Purdue wins, but I think Nebraska keeps it within the 14. I think they do. John, your pick.
Purdue taking Nebraska to the woodshed. Give me Purdue.
All right.
Give
we got
Purdue.
That.
McConnell's back. McConnell's back.
Hey, by the way, Matt, if Matt Rhule and Nebraska aren't on the phone with each other, they need to get on the phone with each other. Because Matt Rhule needs to be the next head coach at Nebraska.
Matt Rhule, he should.
Hey, by the way,
speak.
I had a big hot take this weekend, and I'm riding it to the bank. If old Venables don't get it figured out there in Oklahoma, and it may only be this year, I mean, boy, you wouldn't think they'd can him after 1 year, but if you go 5-7 or whatever, I mean, they're 3-3 now, and they can him. They need to go get the boy that just had dinner over at Tanner's place this past week, Urban Meyer.
No, I went. I took that was a special delivery. I was getting ready to tell you. I took that over to Double D's house, and I went in that basement and had a little conversation with old Coach Urban Meyer. And I said, bud, you got to start somewhere. And if Ball State doesn't get anywhere, here's his business card.
Oh,
just call me. I'll get you to that front office, and he can just take the Cardinals to the top.
Hey, I don't know if John knows how deep you are in with Double D.
Yeah, I don't think he – yeah, literally, hey, I did. He said – they called me up. He goes, hey, we can't come get it. I know you guys don't deliver, but Coach Meyer's in town. You want to bring it over here and – have a drink with him. I said, yeah. So I went over there, watched some football. We had some drinks. I heard some funny stories that I probably don't need to tell on the air, but I can tell in person from both of those guys. And they were classic stories, both from Double D and from Coach Meyer.
I'll leave it at this with that real quick. Any truth about the girl that was on his lap?
did not bring that up.
I hear you. I didn't bring that up.
She wasn't there. There you go.
Hey, you know Tanner.
If you don't think we didn't talk about females, though, you're crazy.
Right. Hey, I don't know. Did you know the history between Double D and JB?
I know they go back and forth on Twitter. They get in those computer wars.
Three foolish men. I put you right in that category.
I mean, they go back and forth.
Yeah.
We're idiots. In three foolish men, I put you right.
I talked to Double D. I think I'm going on that show in November sometime. I'll keep you on there. I'm going to go in studio.
Oh, do it. Talk about Crossroads, because I know he listens, right, John?
He listens. Little podcast is what he calls it.
Yeah, little vlogger boys.
I'm gonna plug the hell out of it on there. So don't.
Hey,
I will tell you,
Double D. He liked a tweet of mine today when I was listening to the show. He liked the tweet when we were talking about the baseball game tonight. And then also I was on that the race of the day, which my damn horse finished in second today. So he gave me a shot. I ain't got no problem with him.
Did you? Yeah.
No, he might be right about my Steelers, John. I don't know.
He always loves it when I come around.
Yeah, for sure.
When he called out the box, he goes, make sure Tanner's the one bringing his food over here.
And yeah, he don't go crazy doing it.
Over there. Yeah.
Jonathan, number 10, Penn State. At number 5, Michigan. Michigan's 7-point favorite.
Gonna be a lot of pushing. Gonna be a lot of pushing and shoving in this one, man. I am not a wholeheartedly all in on Michigan. Give me Penn State on the road.
Oh, Tanner.
I like the under 52. If I could take that, the best.
Write that down. I like that too.
Yeah. You better get on it early because I think it'll probably go down. I like just give me Michigan. It's one of those games I don't want to pick the spread. I really like the under 52. So they're at home. I read a thing where I'm trying to think of this guy's name, Franklin, him on the road's terrible or something against Michigan. I don't know if he covers. I'll let you go if you give me your hot take on that. But he can't cover on the road, something that Michigan or he never has. So give me Harbaugh.
I'm going to take Michigan as well, but I think we'll end up with a push here. We'll get our third push of the year. You watch it be 7. It'll end up being 7 at the end. Because they'll be up by 14 or whatever, and then they'll push a touchdown with like 40 seconds to go to put it within 7.
Oh, yeah.
So, or we'll get burned and they'll go for 2 and do that thing that analytics say.
Oh, here's the stat, and I'm leaving it this. Penn State's 2-6 against the spread against Michigan under James Franklin, and 0-5 against the spread as an underdog. There it was. That's the stat I read earlier.
Give me Michigan.
Yeah. Give me Michigan. Yep.
All right. John, you changing your pick? You keeping it?
I'm staying with Penn State.
Okay. Tanner, number 7, USC, at number 20, Utah. Utah, 3.5-point favorites over the Fighting Lincoln Rileys.
Wow. I love that because that's the Vegas line. They want you guys to hammer USC, and that's why I'm taking Utah. They got beat. They're at home. I think it's their homecoming.
Yep.
Utah going to win that game. Give me Utah Utes.
When I saw this spread, I saw the rat trap. I saw the cheese.
Yep.
That says, hey, it's number 7 at number 20. You're getting 3.5 points. Take Lincoln Riley in this team. Boy, I've been sports betting for way too long. When I smell a rat and I see a rat, it's got to be a rat. But, hey, I've been on Lincoln Riley them all year. Give me that cheese, I guess. I'm taking the +3.5.
You can't follow me the whole time.
No, I can't.
Tanner and Brandon, I would encourage you. Man, I know sometimes if you know what I'm saying, we have to rewatch games and follow up. Man, that quarterback and that whole team. They got some pretty decent tight ends as well in Utah. I don't know the name. Shame on me right now. I don't have them in front of me. But like, man, I think they're still that team. That you know, when they play that Power 5 team, that bigger Power 5 team, like a USC, like a UCLA, man, they get behind, and, you know, it's like 10, 14 points that, you know, two scores that they have to potentially try to make up, man. Again, Brandon and Tanner, I like it. That quarterback from Utah, man, he's 6'1" or so, they say, but, man, he's really explosive, real athletic, runs dynamically, throws. could probably throw a little bit better, right? You know what I'm saying? That's probably what they're gonna say. It's important for the next level because not necessarily efficient, right? But I like USC better so much in this game. But I think it's gonna be, I think it'll be similarly to like how the UCLA game played out. It'll be knock and talk them back and forth for the first quarter, maybe in the second quarter, and then the second half, USC just kind of blows it open. So give me USC.
Oh, all right. Okay.
I'm going to drop this stat on you, two of them. Utah is 11-2 against the spread in October since the start of 2018. That's the best record in October for cover percentage in all of FBS over that span. Also, Utah, 24-11 against the spread in Pac-12 play since the start of the 2018 season. That's the best cover percentage of the Pac-12 as well. So, yeah, give me the Utes all day long, baby.
Okay. All right. Fight on Trojans. Let's go. The next one, I'm up first in the next one. Number three, Alabama, 7.5-point favorites at Rocky Top. Number six, Tennessee. Oh, man, when I'm looking at this one, I know we heard Decott. I think Decott, I think he covers his own ass when Alabama plays tough teams that they lose, where he's like, well, I said that they could lose. And I know what he's doing all along, Decott. Come on now. Come on. Because you ain't going to say that against some other mediocre team. That way you can always cover your ass on it. With that being said, I don't know if this Tennessee defense can stop Alabama. I really don't know if they can. I know Tennessee's wrapped up and they're ready to go. I could see Tennessee winning, trust me. But I also could see Alabama, all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're 6 minutes in and they're already up by 17 points. And you're like, oh, my God, what's going on? That being said.
Did that Tennessee guy just get arrested?
I don't know if he did or not. I know Bryce Young is questionable.
That's why yeah,
I'm looking.
Ahead.
He's starting safety. He's facing aggravated assault charges before the game.
Yeah.
Give me. God, I hate doing this. You don't win money betting against Nick Saban and them. Give me Alabama minus the 7.5.
Man, I'm taking the balls and stun the world, man.
Tanner.
You know what? I'll take the Vols, but Reese, I might call you for a change. If Bryce Young plays, I'm taking Bama. So, just let that be noted. I like Tennessee, but if Bryce Young starts, plays, Bama it is.
Okay. We're going to the next game.
It's kind of like that. It was kind of like how that Texas game was the other day.
Right. Going to another cheese game. Jonathan, you are up. Number 8, Oklahoma State. At number 13, TCU. TCU, 3.5-point favorites at home against the Fighting Gundies.
Man, this game ought to be 34-41 and by the halftime, right? with these two teams. But offense, man. I'm going to take Oklahoma State.
Okay. Tanner?
Man, I was looking at all these stats about them, Oklahoma State covering, and I love TCU, too.
I know Tanner's going to take
TCU. You know what? I want to take TCU, but all the stuff I've read on today says Oklahoma State covers like nobody's business. So yeah, I'm a stat guy, and everything shows that they should.
Uh huh.
Give me Oklahoma State the 3.5. I think it'll be a close game. I think TCU probably will win this game, but it's going to be tight if they win this.
Right.
Game. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I think Oklahoma State can cover that 3.5.
Okay. With that being said, I'm taking TCU. I think if this is the year they need to do it, they're getting 3.5. Well, scratch. You know what? Scratch that. Give me Oklahoma State. TCU's got a guy that might be facing some arrest charges as well. So go ahead, give me Oklahoma State. Like, I can't listen. Everybody can't be going to jail before the games. Let's figure this out now, right?
I know. They go out and celebrate so hard, then they're in the slammer and miss practice on Sunday and Monday.
Oh, man. Yeah, give me Oklahoma State plus the 3.5. I'll probably – that might be one I might be changing game day. We'll see on that one.
That's fine. You're good.
Next one up. Oh, let's see here. Tanner, number 15, NC State at number 18, Syracuse. Syracuse, 3.5-point favorites.
I'll just go quick. I like Syracuse. I think I took NC State last week, and Florida State gave them a run for their money. Probably should have won the game. And NC State squeaked one out. I think Syracuse is 4-1 against the spread this year. They're 6-0 against the spread in October since the start of last year in the ACC play. So I like that. Give me Syracuse. That's enough. That's enough for me. Give me the Orange win. If this is the year, they're not going to be a basketball school and a football school this year. It's going to be this year. So give me the Cuse.
All right. The home team is 4-0 against the spread. This last four games, these teams have played each other. Syracuse has lost three straight against NC State. Mm-hmm. With that being said, give me Syracuse minus the 3.5 up in the Carrier Dome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You know, this is a year of growth for North Carolina State, man. You know, everybody remembers last year when everybody said last year that the ACC was down last year. Back this year, nobody's saying that. This year, we got Wake Forest. They're back. This year, we got NC State. They're back. This year, Florida State. You know what I'm saying? Surprises. This year, unfortunately, Miami, not necessarily back just yet. And we all know Clemson's back. But I think NC State wins this game just to keep their, you know, keep their name out there in power ranking, you know, floating around 11, 12, 13. That type of thing. Maybe they might be able to jump back up in the top 10 if they beat a couple squads in front of them. But as far as this game is concerned this weekend, Syracuse, I know Syracuse is always that David and Goliath. They usually the one with the slingshot, right, ready to knock somebody out. I think, you know, Brandon said right there, they haven't beat them in three tries. By Saturday, it'll be four. So, again, give me NC State.
Okay. Next one I'll be starting will be Maryland, 11.5-point favorites on the road at Indiana. Gentlemen, I got a couple stats for this. The home team is 5-1 against the spread in their last six meetings with each other. But the Hoosiers are 4-0 against the spread in their last four games when they've covered the spread the previous game before. They're 1-5 in their last six when they've allowed over 280 yards passing. They're 1-5 against the ATS against their last six games when they just straight up lost. But
right.
The Terrapins suck. They're 0-6 against the spread in their last six games when they have less than 100 yards rushing in the previous game. They're 4-0 in the road, their last four road games against the spread.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this would be a game for Indiana. But I think Tagovailoa, to his brother, I think he's pissed off at the first Indiana team at Purdue, how that happened. Maryland, let me see that nutsack. Give me Maryland to cover the 11.5.
Karen, you want to go? I can go. Right, give me Maryland. I've seen Maryland kind of level up this year. I've seen them play better in the Big House against Michigan, even though they took a loss. Again, Purdue went in there and they played Purdue tight. You know what I mean? I thought Maryland was a better team. Just Purdue, like I said, Purdue won on the road. That's surprisingly. Maryland against IU, man, it's you know, it's strange, man. IU always, you know, saying this is like Maryland and Rutgers. Those are the teams they kind of pick on. I don't think they pick on Maryland this year, man. I don't think IU is good enough to can score, right? They'll score 10, but they won't score too much more on Maryland, man. Give me Maryland.
Okay. Tanner.
I'm taking the Hoosiers. Maryland really couldn't get it done last week. They played really well against Michigan. But I thought they might have peaked against Michigan. So we've had some letdowns. IU is supposed to be terrible. They've been in every game, I feel like. They're right there. Every time they're an underdog, they're in there.
Right.
So, you know what? They're at home catching 11.5. Tom Allen will get those bastards to be playing well. They'll hang in there. Give me the Hoosiers 11.5.
Okay. Might be homecoming, too. Might double-check that. Might be homecoming.
Yeah, I think it is. They're going to get booted.
Oh, man. Jonathan, you started out number 4, Clemson, -3.5 at Florida State.
Clemson's on a mission. Clemson's on a mission to stay undefeated so they can get back in the college football playoff. Ain't no way they're losing this game against Florida State. Florida State, they'll get Florida State's, you know what I'm saying, best punch. You know what I mean? But there ain't no way. Give me Clemson.
Tanner.
I like Clemson, too. That's all I need on that one, too. I think Florida State's going to have their hands full down there.
The favorite's 4-0 in their last 4 times they've played. The home team's 4-1 against the spread. LSU is 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 games in Florida State. Let's make it 5-1. Clemson covers 3.5. Final one, Tanner, you're going to start it. Stanford at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's 17-point favorites.
I think Notre Dame wins this game big time. I've watched Stanford play. I've been burnt on them late night when I'm trying to chase money, trying to bet on them. They're god-awful. If that Shaw dude has a job at the end, I'll be shocked. Notre Dame's going to steamroll these guys. This score, their defense is going to be good. It might be, I'm on a 35-10 final. Irish win. Give me Notre Dame.
I'll take the Irish as well. Tanner? Or Jonathan?
Man, that quarterback in Stanford is pretty good. We're going to hear his name probably on Sundays. In the near future, like next couple
Andrew
of
Luck?
Years, but he's not as he ain't got Andrew Luck, and that Stanford team is not winning against Notre Dame. Notre Dame stays undefeated until they play Clemson in November. But yeah, give me Notre Dame this weekend.
Okay, perfect. All right, boys, there's our picks. 10 pack of games.
We'll
see what we do. Anything else, Tanner? Before we let you go.
That's all I think I got. I'm going to Cleveland for game 4 if there is a game 4 on Saturday. I mean, on Sunday.
Nice.
Going up on Saturday. So that'll be rocking.
Ken, you got a good pro game
said?
For us? You got a good pro NFL what? Game for us this week?
I think I do. Hold on.
I got one I think you'll like.
I think.
Hey, give me Kansas City at home, +1.5. Come on now. Disrespect. That's disrespect to future Hall of Famer Patty Mahomes.
It is. It's already down to 1.5? It was 3. They were catching 3.
Sorry, it is 3. So give me the 3.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know what? I think the Colts – as bad as I said, at -2.
I think I like it
at -2. I think they got to win. If they're going to have any, if they're going to salvage a season at all and have any chance to do it,
right.
I like those small home favorite things where you don't have to, that can win by a field goal. It'll be tight, but
Here's your upset of the week. Not upset, but wait. Here's your long shot of the week. I'll give you one. Give me New York Football Giants at home getting 6 against Baltimore.
Whoa. I like that.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Give me the 6.
Yeah.
They scored 40 points.
I'm still alive in that big survivor pool. I am. I think I'm taking Rams this week. They got to bounce back, and they got the Panthers.
Yeah. Panthers are trash.
So,
all right,
T.
I appreciate it.
That. That's all I got. Yeah. If you were doing
Take care,
it,
my man.
I'll give out a quick I'll give out a quick one. Two-team teaser. Eagles aren't losing at home. I don't care how good the Cowboys are. I don't think they lose. Eagles aren't losing at home. Tease them down to even. Tease the Packers down to from 7.5 to 1.5 at home against the Jets. There you go.
Sounds good, Tanner. Appreciate it. Good luck.
All right.
Stay in touch.
All right. Take care. Yep. Bye-bye. Yep.
Jonathan, our famous sponsor, Scott K. Nichols of State Farm Insurance, has a Facebook message post for you. He says, JB, are you watching the Bears-Commanders game tomorrow night, or are you going to watch reruns of Good Times?
Probably. I got two TVs up, man, so I have a little bit of both, man. I probably have a little bit of Grand Game of Thrones on, too, man, just a rewatch, man. But, like, nah, that's going to be a stinker, people think. But usually Brandon in those games, man, doesn't you get a good high score, good 27-21 kind of game, man. So our sponsor's giving us a hard time, man. He's a Detroit Lions fan. They got hard times up here in Detroit right now. But, like, man, it's a hard time. right. Hard times. It's hard times kind of everywhere in the NFC North right now, Chicago, Detroit, and even Green Bay. So, like, nah, man, Chicago's got to win that game, right? So, nah, man, I'll be watching it. I'll probably take Chicago.
Okay. A couple things. Last three things I want to talk about real quick. First off, Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole. You have a problem with him remaining on the team, or they need to trade him?
They're not going to trade him, Brandon. He's getting to a point, though, and even it's weird, though, that he didn't come with suspension or fine for that particular act. But he's getting to a point, Brandon, where when Draymond Green becomes a free agent, like, he's not going to get a multi-year type of deal. He's going to get maybe a one-year deal, and it's probably going to be reduced, man, because he's so much of a I get it. He's a media darling, but he's also a PR nightmare. So what do? You can't give him $90 million, you know what I mean? Because Steph and them like him, and he's been successful. He always does boneheaded things like this, man. So again, man, you know, I get it. Do guys fight on teams sometimes? Yeah. Do guys get sucker punched like Jordan Poole gets from teammates? Absolutely not. So they got a lot of work to do in Golden State. But I don't know. I don't know if they trade it. They won't trade Draymond though. No,
I don't think they will either. But I mean, you can't punch out your teammate, man. Come on, right before the season starts.
No.
I don't care what he said.
Right.
Major League postseason baseball is off to a hot start already. The Mets, John, they collapsed the last 2 weeks of the season. Epic collapse for the Mets.
Epic. Yeah.
Oh my God, it was so bad. Great games yesterday. The Astros coming back and winning on a walk-off bomb is what it was. The Yankees winning 4-1. And then, you know, Phillies winning the first game over Atlanta. Great games yesterday. Great games are going to continue tonight. I love MLB postseason. It's one of my favorites. Cannot wait to continue watching these games. I do have to ask you before we go, because I'm getting hollered at for dinner.
It's all good, man.
We sort of talked off the air, and I didn't get to see it live, but I watched it back when I got back from the bars for my bachelor party, and then as well as Sunday, and I've rewatched it Monday. The production value of Bray Wyatt's return to WWE was top-notch, 100%. Perfectly done. I am excited. And that pop, John. I had to be one of the loudest pops besides Stone Cold's.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt, you know what I'm saying, he's back. Who knows who else is with him, man? There's rumors, man, that Bo Dallas is one of the people, you know what I mean? The Eric Redbeard might be one of the people that might be in his faction once everything plays out.
Bo Dallas.
Man. But, you know, he took a year off, or took some time off, a year and a half, right? Bray Wyatt did, and now he's back, man. Yeah, great event. If he can catch replay on Peacock from Extreme Rules, I mean, dude, it was hell.
And I did love Triple H, how he put the fake watermark up, and like he did from NXT, and then you kind of did. I love that stuff. It's gonna be great to see who the faction is come Friday night on SmackDown. So, Hey, we do got a call we need to take real quick. All right, Mike Kelly, what's going on?
What's up? What's going on, fellas? Just trucking around. How you guys?
Good, good. You?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. Not a lot of traffic, so that's the way I like it. I was hit and miss. I had a problem with my trailer, so I couldn't really listen to all of it. What I know it's getting late in the thing. So what is your take on Draymond? I thought I heard some of it, but
yeah, I'll go first and then I'll let you go, John. Well, actually, what's your think? What's your thoughts, Mike?
I think that the organization. So you know, I watched that Undisputed, the barbershop thing, with that LeBron has. I think it's called Undisputed. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's called because he switched it. You know, he's not on the HBO. He's on his he's got his own thing on YouTube. And I thought it was ironic. Obviously, they record him earlier, but I thought it was ironic to watch him sitting there with LeBron. And then right after that, next thing you know, Stephen A. Smith quotes and says, I think he's, you know, if he's going to the Lakers. My only thing is I heard you guys say he does do a lot of stuff, and there's not a stat for some of the stuff that he does. So you have to take the bitter with the sweet. I think it was a setup. I think his numbers have been down a little bit. But I think it was kind of a setup in the fact that they do video those things, but that was a practice. You know what I mean? So how did we see it?
How did we see that?
How did that get to TMZ?
Well, TMZ, you know, TMZ can get anything and everything, right?
But there's a lot of stuff they don't get.
It's got to happen, right? There's a lot of things that got to happen in order for that to make it out there. Man,
right.
Brent, I mean, Mike, I said it was like low class and there's no place for it. The team's just suspending. But, like, if you want to look deeper into the nutshell, like, is he worried about his position? Are you worried about them paying Jordan Poole and not paying you? Because that's probably what's going to happen. Jordan Poole
He's in the three, isn't it? Isn't it Poole, Wiggins, and him? His contract is up after this.
They can't pay everybody.
I know money's not real,
but they can't pay everybody. So somebody's not going to get paid. And it potentially could be him because he's a little bit older. But, like, you know, Sugar, somebody else will pick him up. You know what I mean? But, like, that mouth, man, as far as Golden State, like, if I'm the ownership or management group, like, that mouth is costing us too many headaches.
Yeah. He's just hurting his next contract, like you said.
Yeah, and then I thought it was crazy. You suspend, and I know that they wanted to keep KD happy, but you suspended him for calling him out of his name. You suspend him for that, which I don't think they've ever done that before. But then you knock the dust off of this guy. You size him up. You do everything. Now, I wasn't in the practice. I mean, you know, a pitcher speaks 1,000 words, especially when the pitcher's moving.
Right.
You can see him kind of size him. And then the coach runs over there. I mean, not runs over there. Let me stop talking like that. It's out of context. But he knew. Man, they knew what was going on because that coach eased over there like, hey, wait a minute. And then he cracked him. So that's why I feel like I smell a setup. Like, well, hey, man, you know, we want to pay you some money, but you do this. Now, they didn't Odell. Now, he didn't Odell Beckham himself. He didn't get caught with white powdery substance and a pizza and a prostitute and a blunt. You know what I mean?
Now.
He didn't do all that in his contract year, but damn near. And then, like I said, I saw it last week, and then Stephen A. comes out, and I don't really take a whole lot into what he says nowadays. When he was on the radio, yeah, but now he's kind of a blowhard, I think. Now that right there I thought was kind of weird. But when I woke up and I see that they didn't suspend him, I said, ooh wee. Because in the past, okay, Scottie Pippen has a permanent scar. I was telling my mom this last night. because, you know, she's looking at it like, well, that's crazy. I said, well, my Steve Kerr got a car and a black eye out of Jordan when he, but we never saw it. And Scottie Pippen has a permanent scar under his chin where he did the Jake the Snake almost and ran him into the damn pole. Rodman did that. So, but that was a different time. That was those guys. They put winning over everything. He's like, yeah, I don't, you know, remember what they said, Jordan and Phil Jackson, was because Pippen was like, I ain't playing with that dude. But it's different now. But I think it just smells silly. Now, Draymond is an idiot. I think we all can agree upon that. Like Brandon, like you said, you know, PR, he's an idiot, but I think he played into it. I don't think this is their first time getting into it. I don't think so.
Just the first that we're seeing.
Yeah. Exactly. But leading up to it, do I show you the process or do I show you the finished product to make the sale? Come on, man. We all were salesperson. I'm not going to tell you what Windows did. Well, I'm going to show you what they've done. I'm not going to show you what they were doing. You ain't got that kind of time.
Right.
So
right.
I just think it was. I just think in that, in my opinion, I think that Draymond fell into it. Because he let his emotions get the best of him. And, yes, I do feel like, to quote Tupac, he feels like he smelled death around the corner. I think that he's like, man, this guy is doing the maneuvers. And, you know, it's quite a bit because, you know, I'm not really a Tupac guy like that. But I just feel like in that regard, I think he played himself. But I don't think he can do what he can do somewhere else.
Right.
If
I know
he goes
what you're saying,
to the
right.
Lakers, if he goes to the Lakers, you got Pat Beverly.
You're not pulling
some of those.
They're
the same
kind
of guy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Draymond still seen as a leader on that team, but when your leader is doing boneheaded things, man, there's no excuse for it. So.
Yeah, Mike,
and
I got two questions for you.
Right, yes, sir.
Two questions. Number one, where are we at right now with the state of the Bengals football?
Oh man,
turn it. No,
division wise, it's where are we? Week coming up on week six.
Deshaun coming
man,
back.
Let me roll up this window. Got these guys with these trucks, these raggedy trucks. I don't know, man. I'm a fan to them like you are to the Steelers, Brandon.
Yep.
I don't want to say I give up on them, but man, and then the last game, they needed to win that game, but Lamar is on a mission to get his money. So, I just feel like that O-line. I think. Early on, you got to win them early games because they're going to come back and get you. When you come up on games, then it's not mean the same.
Right.
I really don't know, man. I mean, they got the pieces. They got them.
Okay.
There's nothing that they don't have.
All right.
They're
going to
figure it out.
Let me give you an easier question then.
Can we say the old? We can't use the excuse of.
Uh-oh, he's cutting out on us.
Oh,
I can hear you now. You're cutting out on us.
I don't have a strong answer.
That's fine. I got an easier question for you.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
It's all right. What's an album? What's a current album that you'll never, ever get tired of listening to?
Uh-oh. That's a good one for Mike.
Yeah.
What genre you want?
Hey.
Oh, wow. Does it matter?
No,
you know, it's for you, man.
I
listen to everything.
What are you sitting on your phone and be like, man, I got to roll back to this, or this record, I'm going to roll back to this, or CD, you name it.
Hmm.
You'll never get tired of listening to what album?
Raekwon, Only Built for Cuban Links, the first one. I have, the reason why I asked you genre-wise is because I have other... I'm a big Police fan, so I love their music because I like reggae music, and I think Sting is a I like the vibe, so that really does it for me.
Right.
those guys, Cuban Lynx, like I said, that first one is amazing to me. I mean, I feel like I'm watching The Godfather, all of them. I mean, his storytelling is crazy.
Right.
You know.
Okay. I have to ask. Hey, I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start asking our listeners who call in. I'm going to ask them a random question, or Jonathan's going to ask them a random question like it.
Shoot, you know Jonathan. JB will ask you a random question anyway.
Oh, I know he will.
I think you missed your calling, JB.
We're up against it, Mike, but next week, give us a call.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You guys keep up the good work, and have a good week, fellas.
Thanks for calling in, man.
All right. Awesome to get Mike on there.
We
got to thank our sponsors, Maverick Custom Motorsports, Wiseman Logistics, as well as Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. Without them, we would not be able to do this. John, you like that question, don't you? I stole one of your questions.
Man, you lied. You asked Mike that, man. He lied. I thought he was going to say Earth, Wind, and Fire or some of his other genres of music that he likes, man. You asked a load of questions about music, but yeah, a great question, though.
I think we have to start doing that. We should have some random questions to our guests and just kind of get that. I mean, if Sweet Lou calls in ever, we ask him that. I don't know what we're going to get. We might get Elton John. We might MC Hammer. I don't know.
You never know with him. Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, I'm in the middle right now of watching The Redeem Team on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
No, I spread the word. I haven't seen it yet. I know there's a lot of different people already, you know what I'm saying? I think people are watching just definitely for the nostalgia purposes, man. And obviously, you know what I'm saying, some of the great players that are featured in it, Kobe Bryant, LeBron, you know. It's a great piece of basketball history, man, for darn sure.
Yeah, I'm on the last episode of Dahmer. It's something else, I'll tell you that.
It's something else, yeah. I'm
caught up on Walking Dead, so we're good there. Okay. Even though you're a traitor. You're a traitor now, and you're going against it, which you're just ready for Rick to come back. You're just ready for Rick.
Just bring it on, man.
Bring it on. I am 3 episodes behind on House of the Dragon. It's not looking good right now. I'm 3 episodes back.
Oh, man, Brandon.
I need to get back caught up.
Yeah, just watch this weekend, man. You'll love them. You're missing a lot.
Gotcha. All right. Oh, hey, Friday night, the final Michael Myers is coming out. You watching Halloween?
Yeah, right. The final Michael Myers.
It's called Halloween Kills. That's it. It's over.
Halloween Ends? It's not. We just see. I'm going to go see it.
All right, John, wrap us up, my man.
Man, we had another great show, man. Thanks, D-Cock. Thanks, Mike Kelly. Thanks, Tanner. Thanks for everybody for chiming in on the Facebook Live. Man, great show. Crossroads Sports, bigger and better than ever. We'll be back next week to do it all over again. Who knows? We might even have a guest. Outside of that, thanks for everybody for listening.
Go Pacers.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.